tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And I hope wherever you are, in whichever part of the world you are, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you in the best of health and iman, keep you and your family safe. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Inshallah, before we begin with our today's session, let's first recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated in a hadith that the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, inshallah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss trust in Allah and contentment. Subhanallah, contentment is a wealth that many do not have. A person who's content, he attains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who's content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, Allahu Akbar, he gets to pay his gratitude in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another great virtue. So before that, one has to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. The shair very beautifully says, رَضِينَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا, that we are pleased with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has given us, subhanallah. لَنَا عِلْمُ وَلِلْجُهَالِ مَالُ, that for us, it is the knowledge of Islam, and for the ignorant, well, nothing satisfies them but the wealth of the world. Allahu Akbar. And nothing seems to be enough. But for the one who has been given the wealth of contentment, he never really, you know, wishes for something when he is afflicted by heat or cold. But rather, that individual makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the wealth of contentment. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. The same wealth of contentment which the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had inculcated in the Sahaba, in his Ahlul Bayt, and in his Ummah, subhanallah, us. And it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many narrations, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him the keys to his treasures. Allahu Akbar. So he has been given the keys to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was given the choice to choose all the wealth and kingdom of the world. But he chose poverty. Allahu Akbar. And this was his choice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him the owner of paradise, subhanallah, owner of the entire universe. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still chose the life of simplicity. Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, he very beautifully composes this poem and he says, Kabhi jau ki moti roti, to kabhi khajur pani, tera aisa sada khana madani madine wale. Hai chatai ka bichona, kabhi khaak hi pe sona, kabhi haath ka sirhana madani madine wale. These are the shamail of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you will see in many ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How was his lifestyle? That sometimes he would eat thick barley bread, whereas he could have afforded thin, you know, wafer-like, you know, chapati and rotis and fluffy bread, but he chose to consume thick, condensed barley bread. And we eat the thin slices of refined flour, bread that is made with refined flour, that too with the yeast and whatnot to make it fluffy, to make it soft. and it would just melt in the mouth. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have afforded all of this, but he chose to survive on the thick barley bread. Kabhi jau ki moti roti, to kabhi khajur pani. And sometimes he would just get by eating one or two dates and drinking water. Allahu Akbar. Tera aisa sada khana madani Madine wale. Such simple is your meal, O the master of the city of Medina. Subhanallah. And then he says, Hai chatai ka bichona, kabhi khaak hi pe sona, kabhi haath ka sirhana madani Madine wale. He had the bed that is a thin mat. That was his bed. And today we sleep on thick mattresses. And still we are uncomfortable, turning and twisting. And he had very thin mat. And at times he would wake up from his mat, from his sleep. The marks of the mat would be visible on the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chatai ka bichona, kabhi khaak hi pe sona. And sometimes he would sleep on the floor itself, on the sand itself, with no bed sheet, with no mat or anything. Allahu Akbar. And following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our honorable Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum Aliyah, I've read in Faizan al-Sunnat, subhanallah, that he also has the habit of sometimes sleeping on the sand itself. Allahu Akbar. Just to follow the sunnah of the Habibun al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he says in the second line of the couplet, Kabhi haath ka sirhana madani madine wale. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a pillow, and it was a leather case pillow. And what was the filling of the pillow? It wasn't the soft wool, cotton wool that we have, or the chicken or bird feather that is, you know, the luxury quality of pillows. But he would have rather the twigs and the leaves of dry palm tree. Allahu Akbar. And that is how his pillow would be filled. The leather case would be filled with the leaves of palm tree. Allahu Akbar. And this was the simple pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't even have the pillow. He will make his hand his pillow. Subhanallah. Kabhi haath ka sirhana madani madine wale. Such was the simple lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, Kul jahan milk aur jau ki roti ghiza, us shikam ki qanaat pe lakho salam. That both the worlds are at his disposal. He is the owner of both the worlds. Subhanallah. Kul jahan milk aur jau ki roti ghiza. But look at his food, what he eats. He eats the barley bread, jau ki roti. Us shikam ki qanaat pe lakho salam. Millions of salam on the contentment of that stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As in this beautiful salam of Ala Hazrat, there are 30 plus ash'ar where Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi sends salam on each and every body organ of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Starting from the very hair and the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Mubarak feet of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. And however, we are discussing trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and contentment. So this was the contentment of our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as his ummah, we need to learn and inherit this wealth of contentment from our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A content person, a person who's content, he attains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who's content pays more attention to the creator of resources rather than the resources themselves. Yes. And if you are not content, if you're always looking for something more, something better, something more shinier, something more expensive, something more luxurious, then there is no end to desires. There has to come a time when you are settled on something. Otherwise, you will keep looking until the death overtakes you. and our desires will not come to an end. So it is about time that we learn to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Today, you have no vehicle, no mode of transport. You don't even have a bicycle. I remember there was a time that when we used to get very happy when our father would buy a bicycle. And then after we had the bicycle, then we got even more desires to have a motorbike after that. After that, we wanted a car. Then from then what? Then now people go up and up the ladder. Sometimes you just buy entry-level car, then you upgrade, you buy the latest model, then another latest model will come next year, then you buy that model. And one thing leads to another. More and more comfort, more and more features, more and more gadgets. There's no end to all of this. There has to come a time when we are content and when we are satisfied with what we have, inshallah, azza wa jal. Being content is the habit of the pious bondman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A contented person gets rid of countless worries and griefs of the world. You know, in today's world, people will entice you. The marketing gimmicks, you know, the billboards that are there. Hurry up, you know, don't miss out on this deal. Allahu Akbar. Whereas it's of no importance to you, right? But because the fear of missing out, if you're not content, all these things are there to entice you, to lure you in, to take you. And then what happens? You blow up your entire savings. And then at the end, you sit and scratch your head. What happened to all the wages that I earned? Don't know. So this is what happens when we get carried away, when we are not content. Then all of these attacks from all sides, marketing tactics, they are there to lure you in with the latest temptations, temptations of the world. It's everywhere. You see billboards, fancy ads, you know, hurry up, don't miss out on this deal, last chance, you know, limited offer, all these gimmicks that are designed to disrupt your peace, to disrupt your contentment that you have, to test you as to how much can you persevere, how much can you be patient. Contentment protects a person from greed, yes. It protects from all that greed that you feel, you know, I need this, I want that. But when you are content, you know, I don't need this. Yes, you want it, but you don't need it. There's a difference. Contentment protects a person from being the follower of his desires, and by virtue of it, a person lives his life comfortably and peacefully. Subhanallah, how true this is. That contentment protects a person from being the followers of his desires, and by virtue of it, a person lives his life comfortably and peacefully. Yes. So, if we start to follow into our desires, then there is no end to it. We'll end up in our grave, but not our desires. As in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that nothing can fill the belly of the children of Adam alayhi salam except the sand of the grave. Yes. By virtue of the blessings of contentment, a person attains passion for spending in the path of Allah azza wa jal. Yes. When you are content, and by being content, you have things that you don't really need. It's extra. You don't need it. Give it to somebody who will use it. You know. Inshallah azza wa jal, that is another way of living a minimalistic life. Carry less baggage. And if you are content with few things, then there is no need to hoard a world of things. You know, there are hoarders of extreme levels. They want to hoard everything. No, this is mine. I want this. I want that. They won't use a single thing from there for years. It will stay there and get rotten. But dare somebody else use it. But if you are content with what you have, and what you are not using, give it to others. There is somebody who's in need of it. You got 5 blankets, And you are a family of three. So the two blankets are extra. And you think you might need it. But very rarely do we need those two extra blankets. And whereas there is a person sleeping outside your house who doesn't have even a sheet to cover his body with. He's suffering with cold. But if you're a hoarder type, you will hoard those extra two blankets. I wouldn't give it. But if you're a person who's content with what you have, then you will give both the blankets. And if there is nobody immediately, you know, looking for it, you will go looking for people that want it, that need it, and provide them with it, inshallah. So there is this difference. By virtue of the blessings of contentment, a person attains passion for spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment eradicates the love of the world from the heart. Yes. The love of the world will only make home in the heart when you have greed for materialistic things. Like, for example, this latest gadget that came out, this property, that car, and so on and so forth. But if you do not have an inclination towards these worldly possessions, then the love of the world cannot make home in your heart. You will treat the world for what it is. The example of this world is like ocean, water, body of water. And the example of the heart is like the ship, the ark. For as long as the boat sails on top of the water, for as long as the water stays below the boat is safe. You'll sail through safely. But what happens when the water gets inside the boat? You will drown. And this is the reality of the world. The world is there. Use the resources that are there in this world to make your way to the hereafter. Use it as a conveyance. The body of water, that is a conveyance for us to sail through to safety, inshallah, azza wa jal. No wise person will now make a hole in the boat and will let the water come inside the boat because he knows it's detrimental. So why would we do it? The love of the world, that makes us do that. The silly mistake that we make, it is driven by our greed and love for the world. But if we are one of those individuals who are content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then we won't fall for this. A contented person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People who have absolute trust in Allah azza wa jal are dear to Allah. Yes. A person who's content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, he ultimately places all his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he becomes dearer to Allah azza wa jal. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanallah. The greatest level of contentment, if you are looking in the history of mankind, subhanallah, among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at his contentment and his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is being thrown in the fire of Namrud, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam hastens to come down, to descend by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asks Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, command me, is there something you need? He said, no, I'm not in need of you. He said, then what? He says, the one for whom I'm being thrown in the fire, he knows my state, and it is enough and it is sufficient for me. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Subhanallah. And this was the level of trust that Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam had in Allah azza wa jal. This is the level of trust that we need to have. A famous poet, he says, aaj bhi ho jo barahim sa ima paida, aag kar sakti hai andaze gulistan paida. Even if today, he says, even if today we can have the iman like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fire can still become cool. Inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that level of trust and contentment in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolute trust in Allah azza wa jal increases the light and the brightness of faith further in the hearts of believers. In worries and difficulties, it is the absolute trust in Allah azza wa jal that gives us the lesson of steadfastness, patience and tolerance. Yes. Look at the steadfastness and the trust of Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam when he is on his way to Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. And he shows his level of, you know, how committed he was, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his steadfastness. He said, I will continue on until I reach that place of meeting where two oceans meet. Allahu Akbar, oh, I will continue forever. Subhanallah. So this comes from patience, perseverance, steadfastness and placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who has absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stays safe from all worries. How true is that? Subhanallah. Absolute trust in Allah azza wa jal protects a person from dependence on the creation. Yes. We tend to depend less and less on the creation. Once we begin to place our trust and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is wise to even now wake up and start placing our trust in Allah. People will deceive you. People will do wrong to you. People may not be faithful to you. And it is very heartbreaking at times. But Allah azza wa jal, subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one, if you placed your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no side effects to it. Allahu Akbar. But rather, you become one of the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the people who are loved by Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jal wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who completely trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attains the goodness of this world and the hereafter. Because everything is given to us by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the worlds belong to whom? To Allah azza wa jal. And if we place our trust in Allah, then whatever the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, that will work in our favor. Inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah azza wa jal bless us with the wealth of absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us content in whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon us. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Amin. Dear viewers, we have a wonderful kalam for you. Bakare khesh hairanam aghisni ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, this beautiful kalam that is both in Arabic and Persian, mashallah. And it is recited by our brother, our mashallah, Ashfaq Madani Attari, hafizahullah. Let's inshallah Azza wa Jal listen to the kalam and thereafter we'll be back and continue with our today's topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu mal jae, nadaram juz tu mawae, nadaram juz tu mal jae, nadaram juz tu mawae. Tu hi khud sa zo samanam أغثني يا رسول الله تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله شغاب قص نوازی کن طبیبا چار سازی کن شغاب قص نوازی کن طبیبا چار سازی کن مریض درد عصیانم أغثني يا رسول الله مريض درد عصيانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله اگر رانی اگر خانی غلام من تا سلطانی اگر رانی اگر خانی غلام من تا سلطانی دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم أغثني يا رسول الله دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شولا میخی زد گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شولا میخی زد مدد اے آب حیوانم أغثني يا رسول الله مدد اے آب حیوانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہار مرا خزا سوزد چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہار مرا خزاں سوزد نریزد برگ ایمانم أغثني يا رسول الله نریزد برگ ایمانم أغثني يا رسول الله پریشانم پریشانم أغثني يا رسول الله يا رسول الله پریشان أغثني يا رسول الله جو محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد جو محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
گدائے آمد سلطان بامید کرم نالا گدائے آمد سلطان بامید کرم نالا تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر شہاب ہرے عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب ہرے عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. سبحان الله, what a wonderful kalam. And this wasn't the kalam of Maulana Abdurrahman Jami rahmatullahi ta'ala, but it was the kalam of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. Subhanallah, wonderful kalam, both composed in Farsi, Persian language, and in Arabic. Subhanallah, bakare khish hayranam aghisni ya Rasulallah, that ya Rasulallah, I am ashamed on my doings, please help me, O Messenger of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. However, coming back to our topic of discussion, inshallah azza wa jal, trust in Allah and contentment. It is narrated that there was a pious person who worshipped a lot in Masjid al-Haram. He would worship the whole night and observe fast during the day. Every evening, a man brought him 2 loaves of bread. He would break his fast, meaning open his iftar with those loaves of bread, and would get busy in ibadat until the next day. One day a thought crossed his mind. How is this trusting in Allah Azza wa Jal, that I am relying on the bread given to me by a human and I did not trust Allah Azza wa Jal, the provider of sustenance to all creation? That evening, when the man who used to bring the loaves of bread to him, the worshipper, now this time he returned them. He said, I don't want it, take it. 3 days passed after this, when his hunger intensified and he pleaded to Allah Azza wa Jal. That night he had a dream in which he saw that he was present in the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jal, who asked him, why did you return what I sent to you through my bondman? The worshipper humbly replied that a thought came to me that I have relied on a man instead of relying on you. Allah Azza wa Jal said, who kept on sending you the loaves of bread? The worshipper humbly replied, Ya Allah, only you are the provider. Then that worshipper was ordered, now do not return when I send you. In the same dream, he also saw the man who used to bring the bread. Well, he was also present in the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jal and was asked, why did you stop giving loaves of bread to this worshipper? He humbly replied, Ya Allah, you know it well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, O bondman, to whom did you give these loaves of bread? The servant humbly replied, I would give you, that is, I used to give in your path, Ya Allah. He was then ordered, you must carry on with your deed. Paradise is your reward in return for this deed. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, it gives us great lesson that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with something, we shouldn't turn it away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides in mysterious ways. Yes. In one verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that if we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will create a way out for us and provide for us sustenance from places we cannot even imagine. Allahu Akbar. Now, what is contentment? Contentment, as a definition, Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, what is contentment? He says, when a person being content with whatever he receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lives his life and refrains from greed, it is called contentment. The habit of contentment is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humans. A contented person is always blessed with the wealth of peace, whereas a greedy person always feels worried. 10 beggars can sleep under one blanket, but 2 kings cannot stay in the same country. The level of greed. So we need to be content with the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us content. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, the entire life of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of forbearance and contentment. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam never desired for worldly rest, luxury and comfort. Nor did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever try to gain them. He alaihi salam used to get great treasures consisting of spoils of war, but he would distribute them all to the Muslims. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the blessed family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ate food with satiation for 3 days till the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam apparently departed this life. Praising the most blessed and exceptional contentment of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat says, Kul jahan milk aur jau ki roti ghiza, us shikam ki qanaat pila ko salam. The state of simplicity of the one who has the authority and ownership of the entire universe is that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would eat the bread made of barley. Millions of humble salams be upon the contentment of his blessed stomach. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Despite being the chief of both the worlds, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rest and sleep on a mat, and he would use a leather pillow filled with bark of a date tree for keeping his blessed head on. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never desired to eat delicious and lavish food. Even he never ate flat bread that we are accustomed to. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam often used the thick loaves of barley bread. Hazrat Allama Sadrul Afazil Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that until the apparent demise of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed family never ate bread made from barley for 2 consecutive days. It is also stated in the hadith that the whole month would pass, but the stove would remain unlit for cooking food in the blessed and sacred house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The blessed household would merely survive on water and few dates. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that, O people, if I had wanted, I would have eaten better food than you and worn better clothes than you. But I want to save my luxury and comfort for the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Despite being the owner of the treasures of both the worlds, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam led his life full of contentment. Therefore, we should follow in the footsteps of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obey him and become a contented person. Contentment has many worldly and the benefits of the hereafter as well. Inshallah, we should go over a few of them. Contentment eradicates the love of the world from the heart, whereas the one who satisfies his desires keeps falling in love with the world, and a time comes when he considers this world to be everything. It is deadly poison for one's deen. A contented person places absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than the resources. In this way, he protects himself from the dependence on others. On the other hand, a person who is not content, he keeps his eye on the resources rather than looking at the one who is provider of the resources. And he considers the resources themselves to be everything. In the same way, he has hopes and great expectations from people. Contentment protects a person from acting in accordance to the desires, and by virtue of its blessings, he lives his life with peace and satisfaction. Whereas acting according to the desires brings about restlessness and stress. Contentment, on the other hand, eradicates bad habits like greed and stinginess. It is highly effective in developing the passion for being pleased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for spending in the path of Allah azza wa jal. On the other hand, a discontented person may fall into the habits the evil habits like greed and miserliness. Furthermore, such a person starts objecting to the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal if his desires does not get fulfilled. Ma'adallah. The biggest advantage of contentment is that due to it, one attains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, good news is for the one who is guided with Islam and gets sustenance as per his need and is content with it. Subhanallah. Glad tiding for that individual. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If your contentment is the staircase to the absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like contentment, absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also amongst the attributes which makes the character of a person and refines one's character. Contentment and absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have deep connection with each other. Contentment is the staircase to absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and contentment encourages a person to place his trust in Allah. And depending on less wealth, the person then begins to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolute trust in Allah azza wa jal is one of the very important duties out of the obligatory acts of faith. Yes. Remember, when we make the dua after opening our fast in the month of Ramadan, what do we say? Allahumma laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftartu. Oh Allah, I fasted for your sake. Oh Allah, I have faith in you. Oh Allah, I placed my trust in you. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, tawakkaltu and wa ala rizqika aftartu, and I opened my fast with the risk provided by you. Subhanallah. How content we become when it is the month of Ramadan. Whole day we are not bothered about food, water, etc. Because we know we have this contentment, we have this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come time to open the fast, inshallah azza wa jalla Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us with something. Wa ala rizqika aftartu. And then as a result of that trust of in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa alayka tawakkaltu, after having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we open our fast with the rizq provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and in the month of Ramadan especially, ponder over the meaning of this beautiful dua after opening the fast. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Al-Sunnat Allama Shah Imam Hadraza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman has stated that it is the firm obligatory act to place absolute trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning it is part of our obligatory faith to place absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who does not have the luminosity of absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not complete in his faith, and his heart is full of darkness and doubts. Absolute trust in Allah Azza wa Jal is the soul of Iman. Absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act that brings a person closer to Allah azza wa jal and gets a person away from people. It is the absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives a person strength to fight with steadfastness against difficulties and problems. Absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in troubles raises the hopes of a person. Yes, when times are bad, then at least you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rely on. And it never fails to rely and to place our trust in Allah azza wa jal. It is stated on page number 520 of Tafsir Siratul Jinan, volume 3, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat Islami. And this is beautiful tafsir of the Holy Quran written by the Mufti of Dawat Islami, Mufti Qasim Attari Hafizahullah. And in this book he writes that Sayyidina Imam Fakhruddin Razi Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, Tawakkul, meaning trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, does not mean that a person should give up himself and his efforts after considering them useless, as some ignorant people might say, but rather trust in Allah, tawakkul. What is the true meaning of tawakkul? On the other hand, he says, rather tawakkul and trust in Allah means that a person uses apparent resources, but he does not trust the resources themselves. But rather he trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, his aid and his support. Yes, use the resources and place your trust in the creator of those resources. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that a person humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I trust in Allah azza wa jal after tying my camel or leave it untied? And the response came from the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you must tie your camel, then trust in Allah, then place your trust in Allah. Subhanallah. So tie your camel and then place your trust in Allah. It means that tawakkul and trust in Allah is that one should use resources in any work by considering it to be the sunnah of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after that he should leave its result to Allah azza wa jal. Ala Hazrat Imam Raza Khan Ali Rahmatur Rahman, he says that tawakkul and trust in Allah azza wa jal does not mean giving up resources, but rather it means giving up trusting in resources, but rather trust in the creator who has created these resources. Subhanallah. Ya viewers, alhamdulillah, we have come to our conclusion, and I hope that we have learned valuable lessons based on the contentment and placing our trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the wealth of contentment and tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.